Psalm chapter 40. I'm going to read a couple verses. Beginning at verse number 1. How many of you love the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Amen. We just want to thank Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene and the Victory Outreach Milwaukee Church for hosting this event.
Yes.
Amen. Psalm 40. Verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry for help. He pulled me out of a horrible pit, out of the mud and clay. He set my feet on a rock and made my steps secure. He placed a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Watch this, and many will see this and worship. And they will trust the Lord. I'm going to talk for a few minutes on waiting on God. Is that all right?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the beautiful presence of your Holy Spirit that's here today to minister to our hearts. And I ask you this morning, God, that you would just have your way in our lives, that every man and every woman would just be open to what you want to do. And God, that you would minister to us and that people that are sick in body would be healed. People that need breakthroughs would receive them, Lord. God, that you would manifest miracles here today. And God, that you would give our churches, our region, our leadership, a hunger for you, a deeper and abiding love and hunger for your presence in our life. And we're careful to acknowledge you. And give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, turn around, shake a couple hands, and tell them you have to learn how to slow it down. They say that great athletes, the superstars, have the ability to slow the game down and play in the moment. They have the ability to see things and even do things that other professional athletes don't see or do. But they're able to play in the moment. They're able to slow the game down. I don't even know if you were watching a couple weeks ago, someone put a move on one of the Clippers, a double crossover, and almost broke his leg. Now, this guy that he put the move on is a great player, but this other guy, he saw how he could slow the game. He saw something that this guy didn't see. And that's what they say about great athletes, that they can slow the game down. And they could play in the moment. And they're able to accomplish. Like Michael Jordan, he was one of those type of athletes that are able to do that, right? And because of that, they accomplish things that even though these guys are other professional athletes, they don't accomplish. And they go to heights that other people that are playing the game never achieve. And they take their team to places that other teams would wish to go. Well, when we learn how to wait on God, what we're doing is we're slowing down the game, right? The game's still going, though. See, it doesn't stop, but we're slowing down the game, and we're able to get into that God moment. I mean, right now, this is a God moment for the Great Lakes region. Whatever we normally did on this Saturday, we're slowing the game down this morning. Amen? And we're gonna get into that God moment where God's going to begin to show some. Not everybody's going to see it. Some people are going to fall asleep. Some people are going to get hungry. Some people are going to worry about other things. Oh, but there's some people here that you're going to begin to operate in that God moment. And God's going to begin to open up your mind and open up your heart. You know, the Bible says if you call to God that he will answer you and so show you great and marvelous things that you don't know. And how many know as we slow the game down a little bit this morning and all throughout the day to wherever the Lord leads us to go to, God's going to begin to reveal things to pastors, leaders, to couples, to men and women that they didn't see before. And that's what prayer does. Prayer takes you into a place where you're communicating with God, but God is also communicating back to you. How many of you need to hear from God this morning? Amen. And I think one of the greatest ways to hear from God is when everything is quiet and still and slowed down, where you're before the Lord on your face, on your knees, crying out to God and just asking God to minister to you. So we're going to slow the game down a little bit today. Can I hear you say amen? And we're going to learn how to wait on God this morning. For some, maybe you've never been in a prayer retreat or a prayer summit, and for some, this is maybe you've been to a few, and it's kind of like very familiar. But how many know whenever you get before the Lord, God always has a way of doing something new, doing something fresh. God has a way of showing you things you didn't know and taking you places that you never thought you would be able to go in your life. So we're gonna talk about that. And I believe that this morning, that as we learn how to wait on God, as we learn how to seek God, as we come together as a region and we begin to just slow this day down, God's going to use those times of waiting. Even when we're waiting on God to move in our lives, He uses those times to begin to mold and shape us. How many know God has a plan for our life? And in order for that plan to be accomplished, He has to mold and shape you into the man or the woman that He wants you to be, not the man or the woman that you want to be. He has to begin to deal with your heart and make you. He says, I'll give you pastors after my heart, leaders after my heart. And God uses times of us getting before Him and learning how to wait on the Lord. Like the Bible says, wait on the Lord to begin to do something new inside of your life and make you and make us into the region, into the churches, into the leadership and the people that God wants us to be. How many know we need that to happen? And we need it to take place here, and we need it to take place in our lives throughout this year. We need to really focus on learning how to slow things down and let God take us to places we never thought we would ever go. How many know this walk that we're in, this Christian life that we're living, for some, it might be brand new to you. For some, you might have been around for a while, but how many know this Christian life is a journey, right? And the Bible even describes us as sojourners, that we're here, but we're not really home. Come on, somebody. We're here, but we're here for a reason, but this isn't our final destination. You know, like our ministry is where it is today, but how many know this isn't the end of where God wants us to be? Our region is where it is today, but how many know this isn't where God wants us to stay? God still has much, much more up ahead. We're on a journey. We're on a mission. Come on, somebody. And if we're going to be successful in this mission, if we're going to be successful in this journey, we have to learn how to slow things down and learn how to wait on the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you got to learn how to wait on God. Now, right here in Psalm 40, the psalmist says God does some things in our life when we learn how to wait on Him. When we learn how to not just wait, but he says wait patiently. See, some of us wait because we're forced to. Come on now. Some of you husbands waited on your wife and you didn't have a choice. Come on now. Right? You waited on your leader because that was your only ride. Sometimes we wait because we have to, but that's not waiting patiently. We have to, God wants us to learn how to wait on Him, not just because we have to or we're forced to, but because we want to. How many of you want to this morning? How many of you couldn't wait this morning to get up and get ready? You were ready early. Come on now. I don't know about you. I hit the pillow at 12 o'clock and I woke up at 3 o'clock thinking about this event. Right? Waiting patiently on God. Look at what it says He does. Number one, it says He hears you. It says He hears you. See, this morning, God's going to hear our region. As we come together and we corporately gather together to pray. How many know there's something special that's going to take? There's some prayers that we've been praying, and it's not that God didn't hear them, but today He's going to hear them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Today, God is listening. Right now, His ear is attentive to what's taking place here today. Because He's looking and He's saying, here's a group of people that traveled as far as Minnesota, Cleveland, from Chicago, Rockford, different places that traveled here to come and pray. I'm listening, He says. God wants you to know He's going to hear you. Not only does the psalmist say that He hears you, but He lifts you. See, some people this morning might find themselves in a pit. You ever been in a pit? I've been in pits. Come on, the pit of despair, the pit of addiction, the pit of loneliness, right? The pit of problems, right? Some of you might find yourself in a pit, but I got news for you. When you learn how to wait on God, He lifts you out of your pit. That's good news for somebody this morning. That God is getting ready to resurrect. God is getting ready to raise up. God is getting ready to lift some people up out of their despair, up out of their problems, up out of whatever it is. And then it says He stabilizes you. He said, man, not only did He lift me out of the pit, but he set my feet on a rock, on a sure foundation. Now, let me know this morning, when you pray and you see God, that's a sure foundation. When you build your life in Christ, like Jesus said, He says, when you build your house upon the rock and not upon the sand, when the storms come, there was some storms that whipped through the Rockford area a week ago, and it tore a whole town down. It showed a picture of the town before, and it showed a picture of the town afterwards, and it was gone. But how many know storms come our way? But when God stabilizes our life, when God gets a hold of you, when he hears you and He lifts you and He stabilizes you, it doesn't matter what comes your way. Come on, you're able to withstand the storm that come, and they're gonna come. You know this for sure. You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. Somebody say amen. Amen. They're going to come. That's all a part. Jesus, He took His disciples out on the lake and got them halfway there, and the storm came. That's a part of the process. Then it says, not only does He hear you, lift you, stabilize you, then He begins to do something new. How many of you are waiting for something new? Come on, how many of you have been crying out to God for something new, for change, for a breakthrough, for a miracle, for something new, a freshness in your marriage, a new job, a breakthrough in your ministry? God's going to do something new. And then lastly, He says He does all of that. He hears you, lifts you, stabilizes you, and does something new so He can glorify Himself through you. See, men and women of prayer, they understand that. that God is going to bless us, but God doesn't bless us for us. He blesses us so we could be a blessing to us. He blesses us and he raises up our churches and he begins to move and he does great things and he begins to magnify his name through you and I. Huh? And he, all he wants is that he gets the credit. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. Come on, give the Lord some praise this morning. So that's why we're here this morning. We're here to learn. We're here to wait on God and to see God move in people's lives so God could be glorified. I like those words where he says, I waited patiently. In the Hebrew, it means to have a hope that the thing you are waiting for will come to pass. I remember when I first learned how to pray, and I first was there, and I remember I would get a thought in my mind as we began prayer, because we had these real heavy chairs at that time. It was a two-seater, and every day we had to go get the chairs and bring them into the sanctuary, which was the living room, and we'd set up those chairs, heavy chairs. Every morning we'd go get them, and we'd set them up, and I remember as I got down to pray, and I began to seek God. It wasn't easy at first, but then he gave me a thought that I got to see beyond the chair. I got to see beyond my circumstance. I got to see beyond the present, me being there in that rehab home, or, you know, you starting out your Christian walk and things not all the way together. And God was telling me to wait patiently, have hope that the thing you are waiting on will come to pass. To be excited about what God is going to do. Even though you're in the midst of a time of being still, of a time of waiting. Because, I mean, no, waiting isn't easy. But as you remain patient and steadfast, you know that it surely will come to pass. I mean, there's some miracles in this place this morning that are about to birth. Right? There's some miracles in this. There's some healings in this place that are about to come. There's some things here this morning. There's some direction that is about to be given. But you got to have hope this morning that thing that you're waiting on is going to come to pass. I mean, no, we're on an assignment from God this morning. That Victory Outreach, we're a unique ministry. We're not an ordinary church. Come on, somebody. Although we have every ministry other churches have. But the uniqueness of our ministry is we're on a mission. The uniqueness of our ministry is we have a purpose. We have a vision. We have a cause. Come on, somebody. Even our theme this year, a call to arms. You know, to me, that speaks of being locked and loaded. Come on now. How many of you know what locked and loaded means? Right? Some of you used to get locked up because you were loaded. But what that's telling us, a call to arm is telling us we need to be ready to go into battle at any given time. At any moment, God could call us. God could say to you, I want to take you to the front lines. Right? God could call any one of us to another place. Right? In a moment's time, it could take place. And if we're not ready, we might miss that moment that God has for us. So we got to learn how to slow it down. Because we're on an assignment. And God has a purpose and a plan for every church, every man and woman represented here today. Every one of you. The most unlikely, the one that we don't even think God could use. I mean, no, there's people that we even look at and say, I don't know. You know, we look at each other and say, I just don't know about this guy or girl. And how many know that's usually the one that God wants to raise up? That's the one that God wants to use. But God knows giving it to us too fast might hurt us. Right? We live in an age that everything wants to move fast. right? Everything you want it done now. You want, you know, direct deposit. Come on now, I want my money, not direct deposit. You can pay your bill. I'm gonna wait till 3 minutes before 12 to pay the bill because, you know, I got that, you know, I just pressed that button. Everything's quick. But doesn't always work like that with God. See, God has to come in and do a work in us so we could be ready when he calls us to do the work that he has for us to do. That's why I always say this. God's not so much interested in your gifts and in your talents. God's not interested in what you could do. He's more interested in what he could do inside of you. Because what God does inside of you will determine what you do for God. So he knows sometimes giving us things too quick because we want it right now, it won't help his purpose for our lives. So there's times that God wants you to learn how to wait. And you might find yourself in that place this morning where you're waiting. You're waiting on your miracle. You're waiting on your breakthrough. You're waiting on your spouse to get saved. You're waiting on your healing to take place. You're waiting on the pastor to notice you. Come on, somebody. You try to let him see you every Sunday, but it's just like God's blinded him. Or God's blinded your pastor's wife to you. No, it's not that. It's just God is not ready to release you to do what he has for you to do. He's slowing your game down a little bit. Because what he has for you is greater than you can imagine. What he has for us is great. Come on, give the Lord some praise. But if you're like me and a lot of us, it's not easy to wait. It's not an easy thing. And you're in good company. Because many men and women of God fail to wait on the Lord. I can think of a few, Abraham and Sarah. They were called, right, to give birth to a nation. They didn't want to wait, right? So they tried to manufacture their miracle. How many of you ever tried to manufacture a miracle? And they ended up, instead of a miracle, they ended up with a problem. But eventually the miracle came, right? Children of Israel, they didn't want to wait for Moses to come down from the mountain. Think about it. Pastor said, wait here. Don't do nothing. Just wait here. I'll be right back, right? Now, you got to understand, the word wait in Scripture has a meaning of being before the presence of God. When you're waiting on God, Jesus said, you couldn't wait for 1 hour for me. So it wasn't that he just said, kick back and go to sleep. It wasn't that he just said, do what you want to do. What he was saying, I'm going to the mountaintop. Pray for me while I'm up there so I could get a word from God to bring back to you to direct us through to where God wants us to go. And they couldn't wait, right? So what did they do? They built the golden calf. Because they couldn't wait on God. The disciples couldn't wait on Jesus for 1 hour. Now we're going to pray a little longer than an hour today. Right? More than probably some are used to. More than the normal. But I want to challenge you today to wait on God. You know, the Bible talks about Elisha, that Elijah was a man like us, right? Just like us. But the Bible says that he prayed and the heavens were closed. And then he prayed and the heavens were open. You know what that word prayed means there? It means that he prayed in prayer. You want to see a miracle take place? Then you got to learn how to wait on God. But you got to learn while you're waiting on God, you got to learn how to pray in prayer. Think about that for a second. To pray in prayer. Because how many know so many times we get in a setting like this, and we get distracted. Come on now. It's not an easy thing. It's easy to get distracted. Waiting on God is not an easy task. But it's an important principle that everybody here needs to learn. Because all of us want to see things happen. We want to see our church grow overnight. Right? But the Bible says very clearly, an inheritance gained quickly, right, will be easily forfeited. There's something about paying a price for what you get. There's something about the blood, the sweat, the tears, the brokenness, the labor, the hard work. There's something about waiting on God that when you reach your destiny, you embrace what God has done for you so much more. You appreciate what God has done inside of your life. So we need to know that waiting on God isn't being passive in our commitment or lazy in our commitment. But waiting on God means we're going to even put even more effort in. It's not the absence of effort, waiting on the Lord, right? But we're just slowing things down. The game's still going. But we want to get into that God moment this morning where God can begin to open up our hearts and God can begin to open up our eyes so we can see what he sees. How many of you want to see what God sees for your city? Right? I love that story of Elisha and his servant, where his servant went out to get water to minister to the man of God. And as he went out, he looked up on the mountains and he saw the Assyrian army ready to attack. I mean, no, it's easy to see what the enemy's doing. It's easy to see your adversity. It's easy to see your problem. And he went back in and he told the prophet. The prophet just prayed for him. Lord, open his eyes so he can see what you see. And he walked back outside and he saw the army, but then he saw the heavenly host. And he realized at that moment, those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. Come on, somebody give the Lord some praise. See, when you learn how to slow things down in prayer, when you learn how to wait on God in prayer, God begins to show you that he's with you. And no matter how big your obstacle is, no matter how difficult that situation may seem, no matter how much you want to jump out of it and run and do manufacture your own miracle, you realize that God is with you. He's with you through the storm. He's with you through the flood. He's with you through the fire. He's with you. See, waiting on God is this. I've done everything that I know I should do, and now I'm going to wait on God to do what I cannot do for myself. I fasted. I prayed. Right? I've obeyed. I've listened. Now I'm going to wait on God to come through. And as I'm waiting for God, I'm going to be at my post. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to be involved in United We Can. Come on, somebody. I'm going to be on the streets. Come on now. It doesn't mean I'm going to stay home and wait on God to do it. Then you know how some people say, then I'll get busy, Pastor. Once that breakthrough comes, once that job comes, once this, then you can try. I'll be there. No, that's not waiting on God, my friend. Waiting on God means I'm going to do everything I need to do, and then I'm going to trust God to come through and do the things that I cannot do. It's like I'm going to do what's possible, and God will do what's impossible. See, it's possible for us to be here this morning. And then God does. He says, okay, now I'll do the impossible. Such an important lesson to learn this morning, how to slow the game down. Singles, you need to learn how to slow the game down. Come on, wave your hand if you're a single. Singles, you need to learn how to slow the game down and wait on God for your mate. Wait on God for the man of God. Wait on God for the woman of God. Right? You have to learn how to slow it down. Don't be in such a rush to get into a relationship. You know, too many people run ahead. You know, they somehow at a prayer retreat they see someone. Come on, somebody. Learn how to wait on God. See, you got to learn. See, you got to learn how to wait on God. And this is what you do, singles. You prepare yourself spiritually, financially, emotionally. Then, when those things are together, God will bring that person in. And you know how you'll know it's God? Because it'll be a blessing to your church. Men and women in the home. See, I know you wait because you have to. Come on, hurry up and get in the van. Where are we going? Doesn't matter. Get in the van. Hurry up. Get in the van. And then you get in the van and you wait a half hour. Some of you were waiting. You got in the van and this morning you waited. And you waited. And what's the hurry? Hurry up and get in the van. But the rehab home needs to learn how to wait on God so that you'll graduate with the blessing. Come on. There's something about when they lay hands on you and you get the blessing of God upon your life. But you see, if you're not in tune with God, if you're not seeing what God sees, that won't mean nothing to you. But there's something about the blessing of God. There's something about being released by your leaders to the next level of your life, to the next assignment of your life, right? There's something about that. It's just something about knowing that I will sit by men and women of God. That I'm here not on my own ability, but I've been called of God, but I've also been blessed by the man or woman of God. Come on, somebody. There's just something about that. And the rehab homes need to learn how to wait on God so you can graduate with the blessing. So build a relationship with God now. Learn the principles and the convictions that will guide your life through every mountain experience and every valley experience and every decision you gotta make in your life. Have some conviction that will take you through for the rest of your life. I'm telling you, many you talk to men of God here today, many of the things that we stand upon today, we learned in the home, in the training center. Come on, somebody. Come on, that training center is the rehab for the gang. Come on now. God's raising up some soldiers there. Right? But you got to learn how to wait. And those of you that aren't in the training center, aren't in the home, you need to learn how to wait too. You need to learn how to build a relationship. Married couples. Oh, God. You got to learn how to wait on God to change your spouse. You know, the Bible says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. You got to give. Thank God that Sister Myra waited on me. You're struggling, waiting on your spouse? Talk to her. Thank God she waited. Thank God they didn't give up. Thank God that there was a church of people praying for me. That when I walked into that church, they all knew my name. Every crime I committed. All the problems I caused her. Grandmas would get in my face, and you better be nice. But thank God there was people who waited. Wait on God for your spouse to get it together. Leaders, pastors, you need to learn to wait on God for the growth of your ministry. Don't give up. Don't quit because it gets a little hard. Oh, it's a little hard. It's not happening the way I wanted it to happen. Wait on God. And while you're waiting on God, ask God this question. Is it me? Right? Is it me? Is it something I need to change? Because it's always the people. These people you gave me, Lord. So we have to learn to wait on God. As a leader, as a pastor, and when we're before the Lord, we got to start asking God, what do I need to change? What do I need to shift? What do I need to do to move forward from here? David said like this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry for help. There's going to be some cries going up today. And it might just be a simple cry. It might be a cry of despair. It might be a cry of help, a cry of need, a cry of desperation. But know this, when you learn how to wait on God, God hears your cry for help. And he acts on our behalf. I'm believing God that there's going to be some great, we're going to get some testimonies. That you're going to email Pastor Charlie and you're going to let him know of the testimonies that God has birthed through this prayer summit. The miracles that are taking place that have happened in your life because of what you learned today. The principle and the power of separating time to the Lord. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says like this. Nor has the eye seen a God like you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Let me read that one more time. Nor has the eye seen a God like you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. God works mightily for people who learn to spend time in his prayer. It's not technology. Technology is good. It enhances. It's not skill and talent. Skill and talent is good. We should try and strive to become experts in every field that's represented here this morning. But I'll tell you, technology, skill and talent without the anointing, you're just a businessman. You're just a computer geek. Come on, somebody. See, Saul's army had all the weapons of their day, but they lacked the anointing of God. They lack that ability to wait and tarry in his presence and build and strengthen their faith. Little David, he had a slingshot and five little stones. But he had the anointing of God upon his life. And there was no giant, no weapon formed against him that he knew would be able to prosper. God acts mightily for the people who learn to wait on him. Think about Joseph. He was faithful to God. He waited in the pit. He was falsely accused in Potiphar's house. He ended up in the prison. And eventually God made him a ruler in the palace. Come on, somebody. He didn't quit. I think most of us, once we got out the pit, we would say, man, forget it. It ain't worth it. Or look at, man, I got accused of doing something. You know, I didn't do it, and they're accusing me. They're coming against me. Come on, they're coming against me. The director's coming against me. Bible study leader's coming against me. No, my friend, you're in the process. See, God understands that there's a palace for you. But before you can get to the palace, you got to go to the pit, and you got to go to the prison. He's got to put some iron in that backbone. See, prayer puts iron, tearing on God in the midst of the storm, being still and knowing that the Lord, he is God. Put some backbone in us. King David was called and anointed probably at the age of 17, but it took 13 more years to gain access to the throne. And he waited on God by serving the man who was trying to spear him. Israel wandered 40 years. It was a two-week journey, but they wandered 40 years. And they rebelled against God. But Joshua and Caleb remained faithful. And they served Moses. They served the man of God in the midst of everybody acting up. And because of that, because of their patience, they slowed the game down. And they were the only two that entered into the promise. Come on, somebody. There's something about learning how to wait on God. I wonder how many times we don't get the results that we want because we're in a rush. And we fail to let God have the time that God wants to have inside of our lives. The time it takes to mold us and shape us so he can trust us to be blessed and prosperous. Just something about that. Psalm 25, verse 3, it says, no one who waits for you will ever be put to shame. Something about waiting on God. Something about slowing the game down and getting in that God moment and letting God open your mind so you could see things and open your heart so you could receive things that other people will miss because they're moving too quick. Oh, you're still in the game. You're still in ministry. You're not, hey, pastor, I'm going to slow the game down. I'm going to be staying home for the next week. And no, my friend, that's not what we do. That's not how we do it. Right? I'm going to slow the game down today. I won't be on the streets. No, that's not what we do. I'm going to slow the game down. I won't be tithing for a month. No, that's not how we do it. We're still in the game, but we're allowing God to deal with us. And because we allow God to deal with us, we see things and we receive things and we're able to do things that everybody else on the floor can't do. Waiting on God. Amen. I read a story about Billy Graham. Him and his wife were driving down this stretch of country road where there was a lot of construction, kind of like coming from Chicago to Milwaukee. Not as bad as it used to be. Right? I remember one time it was a parking lot going home. We just were stuck there for a couple hours. And there was all kinds of slowdowns and detours and stops along the way. And finally, they reached the end of all the construction and brand new pavement, real smooth, stretched out before them. And then they saw a sign that said this, end of construction, thanks for your patience. How many know we're going to see that sign one day? But it's going to say like this, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, woman of God. Well done, mighty man of valor. Well done, woman clothed with strength and dignity. Well done, home director. Well done, pastor, leader. Well done, couple. Well done, single, young person. Enter in. But until then, there's going to be a whole lot of construction taking place. Come on, just when you think you've gotten it, there's another church up ahead, Victory Outreach Milwaukee. Come on, there's another breakthrough up ahead, Victory Outreach Cleveland. There's much, much more for you up ahead. Just when you think you've gotten there, you got to learn how to wait some more because God still has so much. There's so much more. Look at how far our ministry has come in the last 47 years? Look at where we're at. But you know what? The latter shall be greater. Come on. The latter shall be greater. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Look at what it says. It says, but those, you know the scripture, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Let me real quick give you four results of waiting on the Lord before I close. Number one, you develop inward strength. You develop inward strength. It's not so much what's on the outside. Come on, it's not so much what's on the outside. I mean, you guys look good, don't get me wrong. But it's not so much what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. You know, the Bible's very clear that God doesn't see us the way man sees us. Man looks at how we look on the outside, but God looks at what you look at in the heart. And when you learn how to wait on God, you develop some inward strength. You get renewed in the spirit of your mind. Come on, somebody. See, God wants us to trust him in whatever we're doing. This is a walk of faith, right? And he wants you to trust him in everything, every area of your life. And he'll give you the spiritual strength to continue even when you're tempted to give in. Oh, yeah, there's some people here tempted this morning. I mean, if you wouldn't have made it here, you don't know what you would have done. As a matter of fact, you came because this is your last hope. And you said, God, if you don't speak to me today, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, he's speaking to you, my friend. And he's telling you, wait. Wait on me. See, there's going to be a renewing of the Holy Spirit when you learn how to get before God. There's something that the Holy Spirit does in a praying man and a praying woman. There's something that takes place when you get before God and you get broken and you get humble and you get grateful to the Lord. Something begins to build up inside of you that you say, you know what, I can go another day. I can make it through another week. I can get, you know what, I can get through this storm. I can get through this problem. I can make it. Because you get that inward strength. Oh, the body might feel weak, but the spirit is strong. Not only do you get inward strength, but you get upward strength. It says they shall mount up with wings like eagles. You know, there's a lot of ups and downs, right? But God will give you victory over all the downs when you learn to wait on him. He'll change those chicken wings. You know the difference between a chicken and an eagle, right? A chicken that just pecks the ground. It can't get no place, but an eagle, it soars above. Right? It soars above. It rises above their situation. See, prayer will cause you to rise above your circumstance, your problem, your need, your difficulty, your lack. Whatever it is, prayer will cause you to rise above it. Upward strength. Can I hear you say amen? He'll give you victory over all the downs if you learn to wait on him. He'll give you the ability to rise up over anything that tries to block you. Come on, how many know the enemy likes to put roadblocks? He wants to stop you from going forward. But when you wait on God, he'll give you that upward, that inward. And thirdly, he'll give you the outward. Outward strength. It says, they shall run and not be weary. Not be weary. See, there's a lot of people that just want to sit and not get involved. Because how many know serving God is not easy? It's hard. It's hard work. You look at your pastor and they make it look easy, but trust me, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. Ministry is not easy. It's hard work. Lazy people won't make it in ministry. Come on. Some people, they just want to sit back and not get involved because ministry looks time-consuming. How many times have people said, man, I don't have enough time? You know, one time I added it up. How many times you come to church? How many times you go to Bible study? And it's so small compared to all the time you have in the week. But God, if you really will learn how to wait on God, God will give you that outward strength to overcome anything. Anything that looks difficult, hard, anything that would try to stop you. You're weak, he says, when you're weak, I'm strong. I'll strengthen you. You know, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Right? Don't get weary. When you wait on God, see, what you got to do is you got to come replenish. That's what we're doing this morning as a region. We're coming in and we're replenishing. We're going to fill the tank of the region up. Come on, because we need to take the region to another level. Can I hear you say amen? I said we need to take this region to another level. So we need to fill our tank up as a region. And he'll give you the strength to go beyond anything you encounter. And then lastly, he gives you that onward strength. They will walk and not faint. That's strength for the long haul. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I made a commitment to the Lord, right? Not only did I make a commitment to the Lord, but I made a commitment to my church. I only know one church. I made a commitment to the Lord, and I made a commitment to my church that no matter what happens, I'm in this for the long haul, right? Remember they used to say, till the hubcaps fall off, right? Forget the hubcaps. When the ball joints go and you see the wheel going, but see, we need to have people that are in it for the long haul. And it's not going to be a superficial relationship. It's not a relationship based on how you feel today. Because, my friend, you're going to feel good today. but next week you might not feel good. You're going to like what you're doing today, but you might get a ministry handed to you you don't really like. There's been things I've been asked to do that I didn't feel gifted to do. It wasn't something that I really liked doing, but I had to learn to get before the Lord and ask God to teach me how to get gifted to do it and give me a love to do it so I could do it with a passion for Him. Can I hear you? Because we don't want to just do it because I have to do it. It's like, you know, let me say this. Like those of you that are involved in children's ministry and you look at it as a life sentence. I don't understand that. Because that's our future. But I've heard people say, I've done my time. Like they need to get paroled. No, my friend, what's happened is you need to learn how to wait on God. You need to learn how to get in God's presence and let the Lord pour some of that Holy Ghost love inside of you. Pour some of that anointing inside of you. Pour some of that power inside of you so you can break through. Wait on God. That's what today is all about. I want the musicians to come. God's going to give us the strength as a region to serve Him. I look at Abraham. He waited 25 years for his promise. Moses waited 40 years for his promise. Joseph waited 13 years for his promise. David waited for his promise. Jesus waited for his promise. Pastor Sonny's seen the promise unfold. But we're only in the first half. There's a now generation. Come on, somebody. There's a second half. We're going into that Isaiah 54, that expansion time. Come on. That growth time. That time that God wants to take us into where we're going to see the expansion of our ministry take place and on the East Coast and the Gulf Coast and the Midwest and the Great Lakes and Africa and South America. We're going to see an expansion. We've pioneered. We're here in Milwaukee. We're in several cities in the Great Lakes. Okay, now we're here. We're here. We're not going no place, but now it's time to expand. Now it's your time. Now it's your time. Now it's your time.